the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, the curse continues. Yesterday, the Chicago Cubs, they lost. Tonight, the Red Sox, they lose to New York. Yankees in Florida in the World Series. I guess hexes and curses do work. Coast to Coast AM website. Take a look at the picture sent in by Roger T. to Lex. Images of Dora, whom he describes as the possible star child, another one. Of course, you know Lloyd Pye continues to investigate his, the 900-year-old skull that he calls the star child. But take a look at the pictures of this one. Pretty peculiar. Some news of the day, then we're going to get right into a story about Yellowstone National Park. The investigation into the Staten Island ferry, this wreck that killed passengers, is now focused on whether the ship's pilot blacked out and slumped over to throttle before the vessel crashed into a concrete pier. A city councilman, after briefings from city emergency and transportation officials, said the crash may have been related to the pilot's health and the medication that he was taking for a possible blood pressure problem. The pilot, Assistant Captain Richard Smith, was so distraught after this accident, he attempted suicide after the crash. He went home, slit his wrist, shot himself with a pellet gun. He's still hospitalized in critical condition. The assistant captain was at the controls. He merely collapsed, they say. The 310-foot ferry slammed into a concrete pier as it approached Staten Island's shore in very choppy, wind-swept waters yesterday, ripping a giant hole alongside its right side and severing the limbs of three passengers. Some passengers leaped into the water. The crash has left 60 other people hospitalized, eight in critical condition. In Washington, the Senate has just voted to convert half of the $20.3 billion Iraqi rebuilding plan into a loan, defying the wishes of President Bush. And despite an administration lobbying campaign here in recent days involving Bush himself, Vice President Dick Cheney and other top officials, the Republican-run chamber voted 51-47 for a bipartisan proposal making $10 billion of this aid a loan. Of course, I never know when foreign countries ever pay their loans back to the United States. There's an update for you, by the way, on the Terry Schiavo situation. The parents of Terry Schiavo and others are now seeking to keep her alive, are pressing Governor George Bush in Florida to intervene in the case. Terry Schiavo's feeding tube was removed yesterday after a decade-long legal fight between her parents and her husband, who says she would rather die than be kept alive artificially. Doctors say that she will die within 2 weeks without the tube. Meanwhile, Schiavo's husband, Michael, apparently has now gotten death threats in recent days and temporarily is moved from his Clearwater, Florida home. Advocates for the parents, Bob and Mary Schindler, have sent the governor legal opinions, co-signed, by the way, by Richard Thompson, who is the chief counsel at the conservative Thomas Moore Law Center. This is the same center that prosecuted suicide doctor Jack Kevorkian in Michigan. The letter maintains that Bush could legally intervene to order a criminal investigation into whether Terry Schiavo was ever abused by her husband, who has always denied such charges. But if a probe were launched, it would have to be kept alive to preserve the evidence, and she would then be given the feeding tube back. A story that I have been looking at for a few days, and we've been waiting to get some verification on it, but it has already now been released by the Las Vegas Review-Journal, so we'll talk about it for a moment here. About a quarter of the skull of animal trainer Roy Horn, who was mauled by a tiger 2 weeks ago, has been removed from his head to reduce pressure on his brain. The Las Vegas Review-Journal, quoting a neurosurgeon and former lieutenant governor of Nevada, Lonnie Hammergren, if I pronounced his name right, they have reported that Horn, of course, half of the famous Siegfried and Roy act, was paralyzed on the left side of his body after suffering a stroke from the mauling. He says that the part of the skull has been placed in a pouch in his abdomen to preserve it until the brain swelling recedes so it could be put back in. Got this very touching email sometime today, and normally we don't do this, but I'm going to read it for you and then let you do what you want. It says, Dear Mr. Norrie, please, I'm writing you in regards to the mass consciousness experiments that you have conducted on Coast to Coast. My father has to go into surgery on November 3rd for severe back injuries. I want to know if it's possible for Coast to Coast listeners, if they want, to do their own mass consciousness experiment so that my father will come out of the surgery absolutely fine. The doctors have given him a 50-50 chance that the surgery being successful, and then another 50-50 chance, obviously, of him surviving the surgery since it deals with vital points in his spine, some near the brain stem. I beg you, please, please help us through this horrid time. My father is only 51 years old, and I do not want him to die. And that is from John, and I told John that I would at least read this, and you can help any way you want. In New Orleans, U.S. health officials have launched an investigation into a possible outbreak of a virus that primarily affects the elderly and very young aboard a cruise ship after dozens of passengers were taken ill. Here we go again. This time, Carnival Cruise Line says that about 97 of its 1,650 passengers and crew have complained of the typical flu-like type syndrome. They call this, they don't know what it is exactly, but it is similar to the Norwalk virus that has been hitting cruise lines over the past few years. In the Fijis, believing they are victims of a curse, the people of a village there are to apologize again for their cannibal ancestors who ate a British Christian missionary. The residents say that they have had hard luck since 1867 when their tribal forefathers dined on the Reverend Thomas Baker, a Methodist missionary. I kid you not. The villagers put their plight down to revenge by Baker's restless spirit, and they say that they are apologizing for what happened to him. In Brussels, a supermarket rat that has dodged a number of poison traps finally got its due, and an 80-year-old shopper knocked it unconscious after it tried to steal her cheese. She was shopping, had the cheese there, reached into her basket, felt what she said, something hanging on my finger. The old rat took a bite out of her as well, so she threw it to the floor and knocked it out. They finally caught it. In England, a pioneering robot capable of showing emotions is to go on public display for the first time. This machine is called Emo. It will greet and interact with visitors on October 25th, as well as expressing a range of emotions from anger to happiness. I'm not sure this is a good idea. Emo is also programmed to respond to the moods of people it meets. Visitors will be challenged to guess Emo's mood, receiving a nod and a smile if they are right, and a very angry shake of the head if they are wrong. The professor who has invented the robot says he hopes it will provide some fun, but says it could also be a very serious research tool. Such machines, he says, may one day play an important role in our lives. Yeah, especially if these machines go haywire and really show some emotions, huh? Drought, by the way, they say, will linger in the western United States this winter, but it is unclear whether the rest of the nation will face warmer, colder, or normal winter weather. They just have no idea, but the weather is strange indeed, and in a moment, my guest Robert Felix, we are going to talk about Yellowstone National Park. It's continuing to heat up, and he believes that could spell disaster.